Well, it's a blessing to be here. I certainly have enjoyed being able to be here for the entire marathon. This is the first time we've ever been able to be here for the entire one, and I praise the Lord for it. Appreciate God's goodness in our lives. And Farrell was mentioned Hayes, Kansas. Tell you this little funny thing while you're turning over to the first place I'm going to read from. It's not where I'm going to preach from. I'm just going to read a few verses here. Psalms 136. But the church that we are members of is in a community by the name of Hayes, North Carolina. And we're starting a church in Hayes, Kansas. So we were there sometime back in the spring, and in Hayes, we were there in Hayes, North Carolina. It's good to have I don't know where you call her, a corrector or not. It's good to have a wife, all right? And you men know what I'm talking about. It's good to have a wife. Amen. Anyway, we was back at our sending church, and one of the deacons came over for something, and I was talking to him, and I said, I wish you'd pray with us about us finding a house in Hayes. And he said, you're looking for a house in Hayes? And it still hadn't clicked with me, you know. And I said, well, yeah, that's where we're starting a church. He said, you're starting a church in Hayes? And I said, excuse me, Hayes, Kansas. Right. Hayes, Kansas. I just, you know, we've been out there long enough. When you say Hayes, I think of Hayes, Kansas. Yes, and so we got a good laugh at that. But I think his heart skipped a beat thinking he's coming to compete with our sending church. Amen. Anyway, we appreciate the Lord's blessings in our lives. I felt like I ought to read this morning just in relation to the marathon. Listen, it's easy to take for granted. It's easy to take for granted. They was one of the first day. I know that I thought it was about 5 hours, but then I looked the next day and I had written down something at 4:30. I believe 4:30 is the first time that afternoon that we was able to put anything in the adding machine. Yes, so there was 3 hours or more that we was marathoning plus the hour or so that we done. So don't ever take it for granted. Yeah. Don't ever take it for granted. Usually I'm on the other end, you know, and listening sporadically as I can. And sometimes I say, well, I wish I'd give that phone number again. I need to program it into my phone, but I wish I'd give me that number again or something like that. And then they give it. And by the time I get my paper out and my pencil, it's gone again.
Yep.
Anyway, we might bear that in mind. All right, Psalm 136. Let me just read you these verses. And you think about it that we should as well. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. And on through the scriptures, you find, as it says the different things, it says, for His mercy endureth forever. I'm going to skip down to verse 26 because this is not the text that I'm going to preach from today, but verse 26 closes out by saying, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, we've got so much to thank him for. And there's a song that we used to sing. I've got so much to thank him for. Thank God, thank God, thank God. We can keep on thanking God. And the marathon is just one of the many things that we have to thank God for. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. And of course, this is not where I'm going to preach from. But Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read you the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your many blessings. Lord, we're grateful, first of all, for our salvation. Thank you, Father, that you sent someone preaching the Word of God faithfully. The Holy Ghost of God convicted me of my sins and showed me my lostness. And when I cried out unto you, you was as good as your word. Yes. You saved me for Jesus' sake. I thank you for that grace bestowed upon me. That mercy, Lord, to whereas that I did not have to suffer the wrath of God, but our Lord Jesus did it for us. Thank you, dear God. I thank you for this wonderful singing today. Thank you, dear God, for the good Spirit of the Lord that's here today. You help me today now as I preach the Word of God. I pray that you'll use me for your glory. Thank you for the good lesson taught by this young man, Brother Philip, this morning. And I pray, dear God, that you'll give us all strength from that and help us, dear God, to use that of yours that you have placed in our hands and allowed us to be a steward over, that you have placed your goods into our hands, and may we use it wisely to the glory and honor of God. We ask you these things. Now, Lord, would also add, if there's anyone here today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, anyone that would hear this message, dear Lord, I pray for their salvation. I pray, dear Lord, for David this morning, and that you'll work in his life. And there's many, dear Lord, upon our prayer list that we could name this morning, and some that we've prayed for coming up on a half a century. And dear Lord, I pray that you'll work in their lives, spare their lives, dear God, if it could be in your mercy, dear Lord, give them another chance to hear the truth. And Father, may they accept you as their personal Savior. I know you're willing to save them. We ask you sometimes to save them. I know that we don't have to convince you to save them. You sent your Son to die for them, and you will save whosoever will come unto you. Bless your name for it. Use me as I preach the Word of God, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And no, I did not make a mistake when I said this is not where I'm preaching from, but it is in one sense. The text is going to come from chapter 11, but I read you this. It says, wherefore, and of course, when you look at that, at the word, wherefore, then it's like, in one sense, when you have the word therefore, somebody made this little cliche and said, when you find therefore in the Bible, stop for a bit and see what it's there for. Well, this one, is a, where, four. And again, it directs us backward into the scripture, but it also directs us forward, if you will, a bit, because it says, it's been talking about what in chapter 11, what is called many times the roll call of the faithful. And the heroes of faith, if you will, and some things of that nature. And all of them are not listed. Right. It's as if as the writer of Hebrews, which I personally believe is the Apostle Paul, but the given by God as he writes these things, is as if when you come to these, some of it, it talks about some other people, but it does not name them. It talks about, those who faith subdued kingdoms in verse 33 and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire and such as that. Verse 35, I'll skip down there. Women received their, dead raised to life again. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and all of this. So much that is there that everything and everyone could not be listed in the chapter. But these are listed. And so then as he finishes these up, it gets down here in verse 39 and it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now he's told all of these things and we can look and see wonderful things in them and draw some encouragement from them as they ran their race and was faithful and patient but it's as if he's saying these were wonderful people. They did great things to the glory of God, but bear in mind it's Jesus that we're to be looking to. It does not mean we cannot go back, and I do plan to go back and look at some of them this morning. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. These others patiently endured the things that they would do. And it says, but listen, Jesus outstripped them all.
Amen.
He surpassed them all.
Right.
But he, even though that he's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It's not saying that he lacked the cross, that he joyed in that, but he, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
And we could go on, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so he's given us encouragement to look to Jesus, to look to Jesus. But my thought today is found back in this about the great cloud of witnesses and such as that. And I want to, I just was thinking about this sometime in the past, and I thought, what would they say? What would these folks say to us if we could sit down? What was it here that somebody asked the question? It's in my mind, but I don't remember the time frame. Somebody asked the question the other day, if you could sit down and have 4 hours, I believe was the time frame. If you could sit down and have 4 hours with any preacher who has ever lived, who would that be? If you could just sit down and talk to him and ask him some questions. And of course, there would be no wrong answer in that. Some might name some that I'd say I wouldn't want to spend enough time to pass by that one. But if it was a man of God, he could probably give us something, even if we didn't like him. Of course, when that was said, my thought immediately was Jesus. And of course, I heard somebody also said, Paul, wouldn't you like to sit down with him? Wouldn't you like to say, Paul, now that you have gotten to that place that you was caught up in and God told you you couldn't tell it, could you tell me a little bit about it now? Could you tell me what it's really like and all of that? All of these different things that we could think of. And there would be so many. But I had in sometime in the past had considered this and thought about it. And I've just pulled a few of these out, and you could pull some others out. But these are the ones that I felt like that the Lord would have me to talk with you about. And that is, you see, each one of them that is in the chapter 11, each one of these had a message. Right. And they have a message for us today. For an example, Abel. Yep. Let's look at him for just a moment. And I did not pull all of them out because I know you won't eat dinner a little bit later, or lunch, if you want to call it such. And we've got other things today. So you don't want me to preach all of these today. And I don't want to have to, because I don't know that I would have the strength to do so. But look at verse 4, what it says about him. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. And so I used him as this first one because that's what we're going to listen to today. We're going to look at some witnesses that are dead, but they are yet speaking.
Amen.
Amen. I remember years ago when I was a boy, I attended a church that, and my family did, and my son and, grandson and granddaughter and his family and my great grandson and granddaughter and all still attend that church today. My other son, by the way, Barry. But anyway, I remember a revival. I don't remember who the preacher was, but I remember one thing that he said. He said, one night of the revival, we're going to hear voices from the dead. He said, I promise you, I'm not going to tell you which night. You'll have to be here every night to find out which one. And the last night, I don't remember where it was, Friday night or Saturday night. We used to run from Sunday night or Monday night through Saturday night. He said, you're gonna hear voices from the dead. Oh, did that intrigue me and some others. It was not just kids that it has stirred their imagination. How is he going to do? Are we going to hear voices from the dead? I'll have to say that I might have been a little superstitious back then, and I wasn't sure whether I wanted to hear from those ghosts or not, that would be the voices from the dead. But that night he finally got it started, and he picked up a record player, and they had you remember how they used to have the rail in front of the platform, and he picked it up and set it on that. It had a wide board across the top. He picked it up on that, and he put some preacher from the past that was dead, and He said, you just heard Brother so-and-so speak from the dead. He died and so-and-so. And how disappointed I was that there wasn't some big thing that some appearance come out and spoke with an eerie voice and all of this. But you know, it disappointed some adults. But then he preached on somebody from the dead yet speaking.
Amen.
And so maybe I should have promoted this, that you was going to hear voices from the dead. But anyway, we felt like it was a little bit of a con, but he really didn't lie to us.
Right.
It just in our minds what we got to do. So, and he did it all with the idea of getting people to come. And it did. I mean, it brought more people out than normal. Anyway, I was a little boy when that happened. Abel, I wonder what he could say, if he could speak to us. And since the Bible said, that by it, he being dead yet speaketh, the it would go back to the more excellent sacrifice.
Right.
Would you not agree?
Yep.
And so that's what I believe, that Abel, if he could be conjured up today,
yeah,
and could be, could speak, if he stood before us today, I believe he'd say, the blood sacrifice,
amen,
is sufficient.
Amen.
The blood sacrifice. Listen, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous.
Yes.
Listen, it's not just the writer of Hebrews, the earthly writer of Hebrews, that's saying Abel was righteous.
No.
But listen, it says God testifying,
that's right,
of his gifts.
Yep, yep.
And that is plural.
Yep.
Of his gifts. Abel offered something unto God that God accepted. I want to tell you today in my mind that Abel would say, trust the right sacrifice.
Yep.
Trust the blood sacrifice. And I believe he would say, it'll be worth it all.
Yep.
Because he has obtained what we,
yes,
will one day obtain. I believe that he would say, it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
Whatever you have to go through. Even if you're killed by your own brother, even if someone kills you for your belief, it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
Trust in the sacrifice. And of course, that sacrifice that he offered was pointing toward the sacrifice that we put our faith and trust in to be born again, the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Let me go along. Verse 5. Let's look at what Enoch says. It says about Enoch. What would Enoch say today? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
I would believe today that one of the things that Enoch would say to us from the dead is this fact, that please God.
Yeah.
Please God. And by the way, what does it say you have to please God? One thing. Yes, sir. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. By the way, could I say without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot please God. God. By faith, the only way to be raptured out of here. That's what the picture of Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church. He was called out. Somebody said it like this, and as much preaching as you and Alan Ford have heard over the years, I have no doubt that you've probably heard this, but said one day Enoch was walking with God, because he was. That's what the Bible tells us as you read about it, that Enoch walked with God. And they said, as Enoch was walking with God one day, as it come down toward the close of the day, that God may have said to Enoch, listen, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. Why don't you just go home and spend the day with me? And so Enoch did. And he's still spending that day with the Lord. Amen. So he was translated. He was caught out, the picture of the rapture. And the only way to please God is by faith. Amen. And if you can't do anything else, believe God. If you don't feel like you can do anything else, Brother Philip taught about the talents this morning. And as he taught about the talents and how that we're to be a steward of what God has placed into our hands, I told Brother Philip during intermission, and I mentioned it to Farrell, when I teach on stewardship, I say the first principle, and it's right there in that scripture in Matthew 25. The Bible says that our Lord went into a far country and he delivered unto his servants his goods. Right. So here's the first principle of stewardship. By the way, a steward is a servant. It's someone that has control or that is managing another's goods, another's affairs. And so the Lord delivered unto them his goods. Never did say, these are yours. They give them unto, he brought them unto him and said, use these, manage these, take care of these. I'll come back, or I'll be a reckoning day. So here's the first principle of stewardship. Everything belongs to God.
Everything belongs
to God. And you can, he wants you to manage it properly. That one buried the Lord's talents in the earth. And he suffered loss as a result of it. All right. Enoch says, trust God, believe God, please God, walk with God. I believe he could say to us, the end of the journey is well worth the trip.
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever driven somewhere, maybe driven for quite a few miles, because you heard of something that you wanted to go and see? And then you get there and you say the trip just wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't worth the time and the money that I've spent to get here. It's just not worth it. But I want to tell you today that this trip to heaven, I will end in a place and will end in such bliss and joy that there will be no doubt that we would say it was worth it all.
Amen.
Amen. Enoch could testify that to us today. Noah. You look at verse 7, and the Bible talks about Noah. And it said, by faith, Noah. And this is one of those verses that is just a good outline to preach and teach by. The first one, by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. If Noah was preaching unto us today, if he was speaking unto us today, he being dead yet speaketh. I don't believe I'm doing damage to Scripture because we read these things and we know how that Noah did. Noah preached to people. Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. And I believe that he would be warning people today of the pending doom, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get ready, and get ready while you can. And he would probably preach to them and say, there was a day that God shut the door. I didn't shut the door. I wonder if Noah preached until the door came together, until it could no longer. He may have wanted to preach longer. But we see today that God shut the door, and that door was never opened again, that we find out in the Word of God. So heed the warning of God. Fear him. Win your loved ones to Christ while you can. There will come a day that you cannot do so. Noah and then Abraham, we find him in verse 8. And I hope just as I go along and touch these things, and I'm trying not to spend a great deal of time on each one, but I hope this just whets your appetite, and as you, that you'll look at this and read more and see what God will give you. And as you do so, and as you meditate upon what the scripture says and what this poor preacher said to you, just think about it. And I believe that God will increase what you get today, as you look at this. We find Abraham in verse 8. By faith, again, listen, it's by faith, by faith, by faith.
That's right.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place whence he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. God said, I want you to go, Abraham. Where are we going, God? Well, I'll show you. And by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. He went out on God's promise.
Right.
And as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations,
Amen.
Whose builder and maker is God. My friends, let me say to you today that Noah, I believe he'd say to us, heed the warning of God. Heed the warning of God. I believe Abraham would say to us, follow God.
Amen.
You can trust him.
Right.
Follow God. You can trust him. Abraham was the richest man in the country, as far as I can see. He was the richest man in that country and lived in a tent all of his life. I suspect, I don't know this, I don't have any proof, and it does not matter, but I wonder if Abraham lived in a sealed house when before that God called him to go out into that country. Sarah must have been a pretty good woman to follow him. I thank God for a wife that for the past 56 years has went where I've went.
Amen.
We moved, I believe it was 14 times in 2 years one time. I mean when we was young, from one rented house to another. I believe I counted that up. Maybe it was not in 2 years. When we bought the house where Barry lives now, I believe it was up to that time we had moved 14 times. But it wasn't so many, many years, but, she might have complained some of that, but we still moved and she never said, I'm not leaving this time. I'm going to stay. I like this house. I'm going to stay. When we got ready to move this last time, I say this just bragging on God, honestly, just bragging on God. But we lived, when we was at Larned, we lived in the nicest house that we had ever lived in all of our entire life. The house was 2,908 square feet. Now, the way that we was able to do that, I did a lot of work on that house. And had a lot of sweat equity, if you will, in it. But we had it. It was a nice house, and I praise God for it. But we are now living in an 850 square foot apartment, But it's made us closer. Amen. But you see, the thing is that our family room that we finished down in the basement in our other house is almost as big as where we're living now. I'm not complaining.
Amen.
We're happy.
Amen.
We are at peace. We believe it's where God has us for this time.
Right.
I do not know what the future is. I just know we're where. And listen, we're in an apartment building that's got 42 apartments. And probably 75 or 80% or more of the people that live there are Catholic. God has put us right in the midst of a place. We don't have to cross the street to witness. We don't have to go out the door to be able to witness to some 40-some other people.
Amen.
And so you pray that we'll be faithful. But Abraham followed God when it did not look like it was a step up. And he lived the rest of his life in tents, although he's the richest man, because he did not want to put roots down too deep.
Yeah.
He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And it was not some mythical city. It was a city that hath foundation and that God built himself. Amen. He didn't want to look back and say, I remember the house that we had before. That's better than what we got now. No, what he looked for, he said, the one I'm going to, I believe he could have said, the one I'm going to, the one I'm looking for is better than anything that I've ever thought about.
Amen.
If you could ask Abraham now how he likes where he lives now,
Amen.
I believe Abraham would highly recommend you come to that resort
Amen.
Where he's at now.
Amen.
That place where his one eternal day, whose builder and maker's God. Amen. What about Sarah? It goes on from Abraham to Sarah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. Sarah, I believe she could say to us, believe God for the impossible.
Amen.
Believe God for the impossible. Amen. My wife and I have some friends in Nebraska, and there's a pastor there. He's on up in his 80s now, and his wife's not far behind him. But a few years ago, she got a call from the doctor's office. And her name is Donna. And so they said, Donna? And she said, yes. And she said, congratulations. Your test came back positive. And Donna said, what test is this? Now, bear in mind that she is at least 70 years old when this happened. And she said, Donna had been to the doctor for some tests. And they said, what test is this? And she said, your pregnancy test. Congratulations, you're pregnant. You're with child, in other words. And so she said, I believe you've got the wrong Donna.
Yeah.
And it was another young lady that had, with the same name as well as with the same last name.
Yeah.
And she laughed about that. And she told us about it and laughed. Sarah laughed. I mean, can you, we don't need to condemn her too much. I'm just telling you, would we not do it?
Yep.
I don't know where I'd laugh or faint. Amen. But anyway, Sarah, she could say, it may look impossible.
Yep.
It may seem impossible to the world, whatever it is. There's some of you that there's some things you've prayed about, you've prayed for. And it's gone into years, and you've prayed, and it just, when you look at it from an earthly point of view, it just looks impossible.
Right.
It just looks daunting. You just say, I don't know where it can ever happen. I believe Sarah would say, trust God.
Amen.
Trust God. Did Sarah not pray for a baby?
Yep.
She did.
Yes.
And even when she got weak in faith, said to her husband, go into my handmaid.
Yep.
And such, she, in her mind, she is saying, this body cannot produce a child.
Right.
It's become evident that I'm not going to have a child. My prayer's not going to be answered that way. And she done what sometimes we try to do. She tried to help God out and do something so that she could say, I've now got a child.
Right.
And maybe even, I don't know where she could had ever said, look what God gave me. But can I tell you that God did not give that to her? Although God let her have that child and have some influence on raising him for a little bit and all of that, but that was not God's will. That was not God's will. And there's still fighting going on today because someone tried to circumvent God's will and tried to get ahead of God and didn't have, felt like that her patience had run out and she need to go ahead and get this done in a different way, although it's not really what God intended. There's churches today, pastors and churches are leading their people in a different way to go some other way because they say that's the way that we can get something done. Listen, people don't like this old authorized version anymore. They say it's hard to read. We don't talk with those these, thous, thine, thines, and ye's and such as that. So let's get one of these modern ones. There is a man that comes to church out there in this church plant that years ago started a Baptist church in the same county that we're in. Somebody, he's an old man now. Somebody told him a while back that he could, quite a while back, that he could, that he ought to get him an NIV, that he could understand it better. It's better to understand. And I've talked to him some about it. And while back, he was telling me that he couldn't remember, and all of that. And I'd heard just about. Now this was a private conversation, okay? I'd heard just about enough that I wanted to hear, and so I finally said, "Listen, can I say something to you?" And I said, "I say this with all kindness. I said you can tell me when the ball games are coming on. You can tell me who's playing. You can tell me the scores." I said, if you would spend as much time in the Word of God, I said it to him, just like I said, if you would spend as much time in the Word of God as you do in sports, you could retain some of it. And he's still coming. There's hope. Amen. But I want to tell you today that that Sarah tried to get ahead of God. Her patience just about ran out. And it might have been that my patience was about run out. It was about run out with him. I might have, maybe I shouldn't have told you that illustration. But Sarah could have said, believe God for the impossible.
Right.
Maybe one of these days we'll see some things change in this fellow. And then maybe I can come back and tell you, boy, it looked impossible, but look what God has done. Amen. All right. On and on. Isaac. I'm just going to mention these. I'm not even going to read the scripture for time's sake. Isaac. He could have said, look what a future.
Amen.
Look what a, I guess I better read that one. Verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come.
Amen.
Look what a future.
Amen.
Here's Jacob. Here's Esau. And all how different. But he could look to the future and he could say, look what a future. You see, he knows now how that God blessed Jacob. He blocked Jacob from being that conniving. You don't read much about Isaac. I heard a preacher say one time, in the Bible, Isaac is just kind of the conjunction between Abraham and Jacob. He's just kind of a junction, just kind of the one in between. You read some about him, but you don't read a great deal. But I'm going to tell you today, if it hadn't have been for Isaac, there wouldn't have been a Jacob.
Right.
And so if there hadn't have been an Isaac, there wouldn't have been an Israel.
Right.
Because God moved on Jacob's heart.
Right.
And God did such a work in Jacob's heart that God changed his name.
Yeah.
And said, your name shall be called Israel.
That's
and he went from the conniver, from the heel kicker or batter, and the one that was always trying to get something in a conniving way, felt like he couldn't be honest to get what he wanted. And so, to a prince of God, that's what, Israel means. And so, Jacob then, I believe Jacob could say, to us, worship God. When he was a dying, blessed the sons of Joseph.
Amen.
And worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff.
Amen.
So weak, his old frail body is just about given out.
Right.
But even if he had to lean upon his staff, he still ended up his life worshiping
Amen.
God. Yeah. Amen. So we could receive the testimony of Jacob by what he did. I believe if he could speak today, he could say to us, worship God.
Amen.
It's worth it all. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go out of here worshiping God into the very presence of God?
Amen.
Not skip a beat.
Yeah.
Amen. Just Jacob worshiped as he come down to the end of his life. Joseph was one that could say to us in verse 22, he could say, trust God. Even though we die, God will do what he promised. You remember Joseph? You remember that when he died, he had left instruction. Here, when he was born, it's talking about there in verse 23, But Joseph in 22, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I was reading that a while back, and I got a, like Brother Philip was talking about when he was studying for his lesson, he got a thought there and he part of it he didn't understand, and he talked to his pastor about it, and his pastor helped him with it, but he still used the thought concerning salvation out of that. But listen, I believe Joseph would say, you can trust God. Even to your dying breath, you can trust God.
Amen.
And then I believe Joseph could say to us, God will do what he promised. How many times was it said, God shall surely visit you? Talking to Israel when they was down in Egypt in bondage. And Joseph made this says, and this is what I got. And it says, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Years ago, when we was living in North Carolina, the boys were still at home. And somebody that we know of, I don't remember who it was, but had died, and they cremated him, or that person. And I said to my wife, I don't care what you do with my body when I die. Just don't burn me.
Yeah.
I gave command. I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I was reading this scripture, and I saw, hey, I've done a scriptural thing. I said, don't burn me. Don't burn my bones. Just like Joseph said, gave commandment concerning his bones. Well, I'll tell you a little bit more what I said there. I said to her, when I die, I don't care what you do with me. It's not going to make any difference. Now, it does in one sense, but I said, it don't make any difference. I said, we was raising hogs back then. I said, I don't care if you roll me off down in the holler and let the hogs eat me. I don't care. I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be out of here. I'm not going to have any need for that body anymore. But you know, I've had to change my mind on some of that. I believe the reason we should not burn our loved ones is because every time you read in the scripture about the burnings, it had to do with a curse.
That's right.
Or heathens.
Yes,
you don't ever read about God's people. You read about some heathens burning them,
yep.
But it was not because they was just wanting to be cremated because it was cheaper. I'm sorry I'm on this, but I'm still, it's truth, isn't it? And I've had loved ones that have been cremated. And I understand that God's going to be able to take care of that if they're saved and all of this. That's not the point. But Joseph said, when you go out of here, take my bones with you. He knew that this was not going to come. And it was a long time.
Yeah.
They embalmed him and put him in a coffin. And they carried him out when they left out in haste.
Right.
You know, have you ever left and moved and said, you know, I believe I'll just leave this for the people coming. I had a collection of rocks, big rocks, yard rocks, that I'd gotten from different places. The Black Hills and different places. I'd just pick one up and when I'd walk along, I'd remember, you know, about doing that. It's just something but Ann was sick when we moved from Lindsborg to Hillsboro. I had them in like a rock garden out there and everything like that. And I left most of them. I left most of them because it just got overwhelmed. But here they carry his bones. They carry his bones around. It would have been a lot easier just to have burned those bones up and put them in something small. A lot easier to carry.
Right.
A lot easier to remember. But they didn't do that.
Right.
By the way, Dr. Harold Seitler said that thing about the coffin. He said one of the definitions of that is a hope chest. He said, Joseph said, put my bones in the coffin. I'm going to come out of there one of these days. And they brought him up out of Egypt and they carried him 40 years in the wilderness.
That's right.
Before they buried him. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I believe Joseph would say you can trust God.
Amen.
You can trust God. And then here's another thing I got out of it for myself. Don't leave anything to the world or to chance when you die or before you die. Listen, my mom, I know I give a lot of personal illustrations. There was an incident that happened several years ago. And when some of our family died, and it really bothered my mother. And we was in the kitchen one day. I'd come in for a visit and we was in the kitchen and mom was crying over this. And, she just couldn't believe that it would have happened. And, I said, Mom, I'll tell you what. I said, if you'll tell me what you want done when you die, I said, I'll do everything in my power to see that it happens that way.
Right.
I said, you could write it down. And I said, you know, you can tell us who you want to preach your funeral, who you want to sing, who you want to have this and who you want to have that. And I said, I'll do my best if I'm living. I'll do my best to see that it happens that way.
Right.
And so sometime later, she told me. She said, she told me where an envelope was. It was sealed. And I believe it said to be opened when I die. Anyway, she wrote something on, but she told me where it was. And on Christmas Eve, 2002, we was in Lindsborg, Kansas, and I get a call. My mom has passed from this world. And so we immediately gathered our stuff together, got in our vehicle and headed out to North Carolina, 1,200 miles from where we were, something like that. Drove through the night. The next morning, I talked to my brother. We went ahead and because of some time restraints and such as that, made arrangements or agreed what we could do, and I told him, I said, I'll just meet you at the funeral home to make the arrangements. I won't even go to the house, so nobody there, you know. And so I told my brother, I said, but when you come to the funeral home, go over, and I told him where it was. I said, go over and look. Mom said she's going to have an envelope in there. The last time I looked, it was there. I said, go over and get that. Don't open it. Bring it to the funeral home. And so he did. No, excuse me. He said, I don't want to go in the house by myself. And I said, all right, I'll come by there and we'll go in together. And we went into the house. I went up and got that out. I found out none of my brothers knew about it. And I got it, put it in my pocket, took it down with my three brothers sitting there. Funeral home service man had talked to us for a while. And I said to him, before that we go any further, I said, we need a few moments to ourselves. And he said, that's fine. So he went out and I told him about this, and I told him that when it happened, and I opened it up thinking Mom was going to tell us some different things. And this is what it said, as best I can remember. I've still got it somewhere. But it said, Allie Shepherd, mother of four sons. When I am gone, I want everything to be divided between them and no trouble. Amen. And she signed it, Allie Shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. Can I tell you something? Her message caused there not to be any trouble.
Right.
Because there was, everything was not in perfect.
Yeah.
There's usually some. But I said to, because there was one problem, I said to the other three, let's honor Mom's request.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. Yeah. Now, I said all of that not to air our laundry, whether it's dirty or clean. I said all of that to say this. Have you ever thought, have you made provisions for the radio marathon?
Right.
Have you made provisions for Island Ford Baptist Church? Or wherever your members. I've told my wife, I want some things. If we have anything left, I want some to go to the work of God. We've been doing the work of God and giving to the work of God for years. And if there's anything left, I want our family. By the way, Mom had been having my brother's wife to cash her Social Security check for some years, and she would tell her to take this amount out, and she'd put it in, and she'd say, that's my church money.
Yeah.
And if she couldn't, because of her sickness, if she couldn't go to church, my sister-in-law took it and put it in. My sister-in-law told me, she said, I said to her one time, when we cash your check, why don't you just let me go ahead and put it all in? Mom said, no. Every time there's a service at my church, I want some of my money to go in.
Amen.
To the offering. I want to be able to give an offering every day. She was a poor woman. But when she died, we do not know, I do not know where the money came from, but we put in the money. My sister-in-law said, we've got this amount of money. What do we do this? Do we divide this up between your church and my brother's church? And this, I said, that's her church's money. And they respected that. I said, that's where Mom was given it. That's where she'd want it to be given. And so, because I didn't know how much of that was tithe. And so they gave it. But do you know that Sunday morning, that church has been started since 1955, and this is 2002. That Sunday morning when my sister-in-law put the 800 and some dollars, I believe it was, that Mom had that was still to go. Do you know that they had the biggest offering that church had ever received in its history?
Mm.
And it just said to me, Maybe God just allowed that to honor my mom and her faithfulness. You see, she said as soon as God gave her the first time she prayed years ago and said, Lord, if I ever have any money of my own, I'll tithe and I'll give. And she testified to me that from the time she started doing what God said, that there had never been a time that she did not have what she needed to the glory of God. God honors His word. Have you ever stopped to consider making provision financially for after you're gone? Now let me give you this last one. Rahab, I forgot what the verse is. Rahab, verse 31. Rahab, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. A lot of that's not said, but you remember Rahab was the one with the scarlet thread.
Right.
So they'd know who she was when they come in. She helped the Israelites and hid them. And when they come and the city was going to be destroyed, those spies had told her, put a scarlet thread or a cord, if you will. And if you look up that cord, it was a small rope. And it was scarlet. It was the color of blood. I don't think that's a coincidence. And, listen, I preached a message one time on the scarlet thread through the Bible. And, I want to tell you today, Rahab and her family was delivered by the scarlet thread, or if you will, by the blood. I believe she'd say today, it'll still work.
Amen.
It worked. Delivered my whole family.
Amen.
There is such
Amen.
A thing as household salvation,
Amen.
But it comes individually.
That's right.
Father, please take the message. Lord, there's so much in this and so much that could be said. But oh, please, Lord, work in hearts and work in lives. And may days to come, these thoughts come back to people. And Father, if there's one that does not know Christ today, please help them. Please help that one. Maybe some thought in this to help someone to just keep on keeping on. One of your people that have heard the message, would you bless them and help them and use the message to glorify you. As the pastor comes and we turn the service over to him, would you speak to hearts and we'll praise you in Jesus' name.